Welcome to the Hot Ticket Podcast. This is episode 196. On this episode, we break down the Ashton VSG. We've not broken down an Ashton on the podcast. We've not even reviewed one on the website. So this is a rare treat for us. I'm super excited to break this cigar down. So hang tight with us for a little bit. Let's get into it.
One extreme to the other. My life is truly like the flight of fear, the roller coaster at Kings Island. It started off super scary and moving way too fast.
Wait, your life in general?
Well, just the last 2 years. Think about it. Like having a baby so quickly with my significant other, yeah. Such a short period of time is like that takeoff at flight of fear where it's like, let's fucking fly.
Yeah. And like, then you're gone regardless.
Yeah, and then you come out of it and you're doing fucking three loops, and before you know it, you're like, oh, where the fuck am I?
Yeah.
And then you're in a dark room. And then you're like, is this hell? And then And then you pop up and you take a small break at the top of Flight of Fear in the middle of the thing, and you finally get a chance to just relax and take a breather and look around, and then you realize it's not hell. Sure, it's a little crazy, but it's actually quite beautiful.
But it's actually kind of nice.
And then you start dive bombing again, going 65 miles an hour and everything's speeding up again, but at least you're enjoying yourself.
Amen to that.
Amen to that.
I feel that. It happens. Life is ebbs and flows. For some people, there's way more of the up and downs than there are for a lot of other people. Thus, in your case. There's way more of the
that's my life.
The craziness than what I think most people would have. So, but it's all good.
Oh, you're doing red. I feel so. Yeah, I know.
I'm doing red just because I don't know what the color.
Like, yeah, I like.
I don't know what the color of that cigar was.
Well, you know, everybody's. It's kind of red and gold.
I think. Is it?
But okay. You know, like, yeah, I think so. But you know, like, just red is our thing, you know, and it would look good if we did a little bit of fun color, which it's not doing. Bear with me.
Wait, I think it just turned red. Did it not?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it looked like it turned red a little bit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So mysterious.
Red is the color of love, as they say, or blood.
Ooh.
It could be either.
Even more true.
Yeah, it could be either. Really. So, a lot to talk about. And this just happened. Yeah, so I was thinking about this literally like 10 minutes ago. I saw something as I was waiting for you.
Oh, God.
And remember when you were doing that stuff where you're working with like Floyd Mayweather's team?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a whole weird topic of conversation, but it's one that I'm intrigued by because it's changing the world of boxing. So for anybody who knows this and is interested in it, it's probably a significant portion of our audience at least knows these things occur, whether or not they watch them or not. Celebrity boxing matches are becoming more and more popular to the point where like the Paul brothers, Logan Paul and Jake Paul, who are very, very famous for YouTube, are both trying to box outside of amateur boxing and really trying to get into pro boxing. Like they're putting a ton of time and attention into it. They're with very experienced boxing trainers, and they're actually pretty good. Jake Paul's knocked out two nobodies, but he shows that he has some skills. Well, his brother Logan Paul is supposed to fight Floyd Mayweather just earlier, like literally like a half an hour ago. Somehow Jake Paul and Floyd Mayweather come face to face, and Jake Paul steals the hat off of Floyd Mayweather's head. And runs out, and it turns into a fucking brawl. So I've always been kind of interested in this because I always thought, like, to me, here recently, the sport of boxing has just become diluted, where they're trying to create these celebrity fights because real boxing fighters are just not as popular as they once were. Like, boxing isn't as popular. It just isn't. Without Floyd Mayweather fighting on a regular basis, and even he's a boring fighter, if you think about it, he's a defensive fighter. He's not super aggressive. It has just become kind of bland and boring for the most part, at least from my perspective. I think a lot of other people would challenge that, but pay-per-view numbers don't lie. Boxing is not what it once used to be.
Yeah.
And so they keep doing these like celebrity boxing matches. Well, they're supposed to do an exhibition match, Floyd Mayweather against Logan Paul, which they've announced they're going to do it, so on and so forth. Well, he runs into his brother Jake Paul. And I've yet to see this video, but I want to share it anyway just to see if we can like see what the hell's going on here. So this would be like me the first time viewing this.
Get Al Heyman.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me call Al Heyman. Let's make
boss.
It happen.
I'm my own boss.
One night. Got you.
But also, let's not steal the hat off of Floyd Mayweather.
That's like being in middle school and taking like a classmate's toy at like playtime.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Stop it!
Stop it!
Stop it! Stop it!
Let's go! Let's go, baby!
He gets hit in the eye too at some point. Because I think there's a picture of him that you see afterwards where his eye is like kind of bloodied up. Someone hit the DJ booth. They're still going at it. A minute later, man, they're still like.
You know what?
Dude, look. See, do you see the time on that?
Yeah. Today.
4:37 p.m. It's already got 1.1 million views on Twitter. What?
That's what's really shitty about this whole thing. And it's our fault as the collective mass of people that are driven towards drama. Biologically, there's something about it. We are so intrinsically interested in fucking drama.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's like media in general, promotion companies, marketing companies feed off of it.
Yeah,
it's
of course.
It's a huge driving factor to making some money. And it's but what's fucking even more sad is this. Sorry, boxing. You're kind of an old man's sport. Not to say that you don't hold some long historical value of defense.
I love boxing, yeah. Personally. I like it more than MMA.
It's a cool sport. Don't get me wrong. But when you look at the people that watched boxing, all right, when it was big through the 90s and even a little bit in the 2000s, they started to wane a little bit. There became the emergence of the new sport. Do you know what that new sport is, Corey?
That'd be called mixed martial arts.
There's that. Let's think digitally, though.
What esports.
Esports. Esports.
Not EA right? Sports. It's in the game.
Yeah. You know, esports came out. And if you're trying to bring the young audience into boxing, they don't want to watch a bunch of big heavy men fucking beat the shit out of each other. They just want to watch their favorite Korean and Japanese teams basically play StarCraft 2 on a stage.
Yeah, which is...
With eight computers.
Which, guess what? I don't understand. Can you do me a favor and turn your gain up?
Sure.
Let's pop that gain up a little bit.
And you got, you know, all these...
A little bit more.
A little bit more.
Let's just bump it up a little bit more.
Let's bump it. Yeah.
Keep going.
You feel it?
Keep going.
You feel the energy more.
Keep talking.
Huh? I'm up there.
Is that as high as it goes? I think your microphone may be flipped around the wrong direction.
No, the dot's here.
Okay. You're just very quiet.
Weird.
Like very quiet. Your pop filter may be working too well.
What about here?
No, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's right here.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's in the right spot. It just I think that pop filter is working too hard.
It's working too hard. I'll replace it with the much more reputable brand of Rode.
Yeah, you're really quiet.
That's so weird. I'll bump it even higher. I mean, I'm up there. I'm up there right now.
That's still pretty quiet.
What about now?
No. I don't know what it is. That's it doesn't weird. Matter. It doesn't matter. Keep talking. You were onto a thought, and I'll figure out the audio because I am essentially an audio genius. Continue.
Sure. But you got all these young cats watching fucking Korean StarCraft 2 and PUBG and Counter-Strike and
I don't
all this
know what
shit.
Any of this stuff is.
And League of Legends.
I'm a boxing guy.
And you got a lot of young kids into this esports thing, but it's a bunch of nerdy people with no physical acuity whatsoever. But
I know.
Do you know what bridges the gap?
It's really
sad. Do you know what bridges the gap between physical sports that we grew up watching, boxing, baseball, all of that, right? And the esporters, you know what ties those two disparately different sports? What?
Thumb wars.
Thumb wars could do it, and it could definitely do it.
One, two, three, four, I begin the thumb war. Remember that?
Yeah. You know what ties them together, though?
Not thumb wars.
Streamers, internet celebrities, YouTubers. How do you draw an audience of a bunch of 10-year-old children and a bunch of...
Why do you want 10-year-old children watching boxing?
I'm just saying they're trying to get them to show interest in a sport that they have no interest in having whatsoever. But you got a bunch of them following a Jake Paul around like, hey, guys, make sure to hit that subscribe button. Make sure to live and leave a comment right at this point where we're doing a giveaway for like four PS5s.
Yeah, we got to do that at the end of our show.
Yeah, but they do that and you've got this huge following of kids. That'd be like, I'll do whatever you say, man. And, you know, then you've got this whole thing. It's like, you got the YouTuber, like, how can I make more money? How can I make money off doing the hobbies that I want to do? And Jake Paul, I'm sure he loves boxing, but he loves money more. So he's going to stir up a whole bunch of shit, and he's going to make little deals with Floyd Mayweather Jr. Like, hey, what if we, like, do a fight? Because I can draw so many fucking people to buy into these pay-per-views and draw an audience that you've never seen before,
right?
To bring to the sport of boxing. Even if we win or lose, we'll make hundreds of millions of dollars together.
Yeah.
And Floyd Mayweather is like, well, I'm going to beat your ass regardless.
Right. But we're both going to make money. We're both going to make a ton of money,
but I'll make some money doing it. Sure.
The problem is it's an exhibition match, which has its own separate set of rules. And oftentimes those rules are dictated in a way that doesn't make the fight fun or exciting, meaning that they'll wear headgear.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
they may say
true.
Body shots only. You know, that's what the Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight was. There was like, it's like everybody wanted to see a Tyson knockout, but the biggest rule of the whole match was no knockouts. You can't swing for the fences, no knockouts. So it's like, who wants to watch that? So yeah, you get these celebrity matches, and they're not all created equal. I mean, and also you're talking about Mike Tyson, who's a 53-year-old man, and Roy Jones Jr., who's a 50-year-old man. Two old ass dudes fighting is just not that appealing. If they were both jacked up on roids, which they may have been, it would have been way funner to watch, although Roy Jones Jr. was very soft in the midsection. Mike Tyson looked like he was built like a tank. It just, I don't know. To me personally, it's hard for me to get excited about that stuff just because, like, one of the things that I always liked about boxing, like, I like watching, like, here recently, I really like watching Canelo fight. Canelo to me is probably one of the best boxers, both offensively and defensively, even though he lost to Floyd Mayweather. He's just so fun to watch. And there's a couple guys that are really fun to watch, but Canelo is huge. But there's a lot of other guys who are really good that they don't get that kind of notoriety. The best guys in the sport aren't drawing any attention. It's the same with UFC fighting. Unless you're Conor McGregor, you're not pulling any numbers.
There's two types of fighters that draw attention. Undefeated champions.
And controversial fighters.
And controversial fighters. The ones that stir up shit. Yeah. Like, remember Mayorga?
Mayorga? Dude, that guy was such an idiot. What a fuck. Ooh. He's a fat piece of shit now. Have you seen him?
Look how much hate between him and Golden Boy was.
Yeah, he's fighting again, too, by the way.
There was so much shit.
Do you know...
go figure. Well, his son is awesome.
He's fucking, like, coked up on all kinds of fucking drugs.
Really?
Yeah, what's his name? Oscar De La Hoya. Yeah, he's fighting again. Yeah, he's like, apparently he's he's just like a fucking massive cokehead.
Apparently he's not a very likable person based on Dana White's impressions of him.
I mean, yeah. Well, yeah, that he gets made fun of all the time because he's just so fucked up.
Yeah.
What was
not
that?
Not using too much.
Oh, Charmin commercial. Let's make sure we
You're
don't
not using too much.
Yeah, Ricardo Mayorga. Craziest fighter, yeah. Craziest boxer in history. I would agree with that. Dude,
see what I'm saying?
But he was controversial and brought so much to that fight, you know, because it was a feud, you know, it's a feud. And that's the way you get people in the seats. You create feuds, and the feuds really don't exist because
they don't exist.
No one just wants to be an asshole 24/7.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're right.
They do exist. It to build up fights.
Yeah.
Now, is Jake Paul an asshole? I probably say he leans towards it. I think he's very egotistical based on everything I've ever read or seen of him. Sure. But Floyd, there's ego there, but it's also backed by a shit ton of confidence. So it's there's no disputing Floyd if he says something about his fighting.
Greatest boxer of all time.
And his business logic. Yeah, that he's got justifiable reasons to back up what he says. Jake doesn't. But he's so egotistically driven that he'll just, you know, he'll use that as ammunition to like build hype, build interest, you know, because any attention is good tension, you know, like it's.
And if you're Floyd Mayweather, you're essentially retired from boxing. You're going to do this exhibition match, right?
Yeah.
You essentially are not like Floyd Mayweather isn't, he's not in fear of anything. He doesn't lose a title. He doesn't lose a championship. I mean, you could technically say, well, at this point he's going to be no longer undefeated. Although I would argue that he's not really all that concerned about that. But yeah, it's like when I think about specifically boxing in general and what it needs to regain popularity, like the direction the sport is going in, will give them some semblance of popularity, but I don't think it's long lasting. I think like guys like Floyd Mayweather still exist, but I do agree with you in terms of like there's other things occupying people's time and it's not the sport of boxing.
Now, imagine
I think that's a big challenge.
Imagine you riding on the coattails of your internet popularity and you go, I'm done making videos, but I'm going to spend the next 3 or 4 years boxing to make $100 million.
Mm, yeah, true.
It's worth it, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's fucking worth it. So it's like,
yeah.
I can't dispute the business logic, but it's just like, but I see through the bullshit. So.
As most people do. You know what I mean? Like it's not, to me, I don't look at it as like a sustainable thing. Like, I just don't think it's long lasting. I think it's going to be this fad and then people are going to get over seeing celebrities getting knocked out by professionals because that's the reality. And here's the thing. I'm not disputing Jake Paul and Logan Paul don't put in the time. They look like they're pretty good fighters.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between being a pretty good fighter and then being an elite boxing athlete. Like those two things are, the disparity is so big. You know, you can train, and my thought process is you can train all you want, but you're never going to be at the Floyd Mayweather level. You're never going to be at the Canelo level. Like these guys have been boxing since they were little kids and have been working with the best trainers in the world for a long period of time. So to me, it's just kind of, I don't know. I recognize it as something that's probably more of a fad than anything else. But speaking of boxing, you want to see what Mayorga looks like now?
Yeah, definitely.
Yikes. Not the guy on the right, by the way. Guy on the left. Yeah, you know why? Because he's got a drug problem. Drug and alcohol addiction. Surprise, surprise. Look at him. He looks terrible.
He was scary in the ring, though, the way he came at Golden Boy.
Yeah, because he just throws Hail Marys. Yeah, like he just, that's all he does is like he was just swinging for the fences. He wasn't a good technical boxer. He was just kind of a, fucking crazy bastard.
Yeah.
It's just literally crazy. I remember watching those fights getting on pay-per-view. Those were the days, though, if you think about it, like the pay-per-view fights. Do you remember how fun that fucking was? Dude,
we would have so many friends over and we'd be jumping up out of our seats screaming.
Dude, that was dope. I miss those days.
Taking off our shirts, just like, you just felt so manly doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. Or a little bit homosexual.
When you just like, grab your best buddy, you're all ripping off your shirts, watching these fucking pay-per-views, you start hugging each other, bare skin, you're like, oh, this is awesome.
Smacking each other's chest.
Yeah. You start slapping his ass like, that was a good ass fight, wasn't it, brother?
Yep.
Like, dude, there's nothing like it.
Punch him in the face.
There's nothing that brings men closer together than combat sports.
It is a really kind of homosexual thing, isn't it? It's a pretty homosexual activity when you think about it, because it is a lot of dudes hugging. and the act in and of itself, kind of not dissimilar to MMA. It's just like you're, I always thought that about wrestling. You know, I remember one time our, it was a football coach at the time. God, he was a fat piece of shit. What was his name? He was my science teacher, I think, my sophomore year. He was just a fat fucking dopey piece of shit. Anyway, God, I forget his name. He's a fucking idiot. What a fuck face. God, I fucking hated that guy. Anyway, one time I remember I was in the principal's office after school, yeah. And I wasn't in trouble. I was like grabbing something, and he was in there, and he's like, "Hey, how much do you weigh, Alan?" And I was like, I think at the time I was pretty small. I was really small sophomore year.
86 pounds or?
I forget what I was. And I wasn't like hugely in my chubby phase yet. It was coming. I may have been close at that point. But he asked me how much I weighed. And he wanted me to wrestle because I was smaller. He only had one other kid who was like mentally handicapped that was wrestling in the same weight class. Yeah. I forget the kid's name, Jermaine or something. I can't remember. But he lost like every fight but one. And I think the only fight he won was because he was fighting another handicapped kid. So like poor Jermaine. He was like 107 pounds soaking wet and, you know, couldn't say his R's correctly. Anyway, so he asked me if I wanted to wrestle in that weight class. And I was like, no. And he's like, oh, you'd be great at it. He's like, you should come try out. And then I remember just saying, and I thought it was at the same time, they were dousing down the practice wrestling gym because of ringworm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to get ringworm. And then I just kept saying, I don't want to wrestle with other dudes. And he was trying to explain to me how it wasn't homosexual.
dude, it is, though. Unintentionally. Like, dude, there's kids. There's other males that are sticking their forearms and hands between your legs constantly. Constantly.
And you're wearing those unitards and your fucking and you're wearing dick ball a unitard, just everywhere.
You don't wear a cup like you do in football.
No, and your nips are out.
Your ding dong is going down your pant leg.
Yeah.
And someone's sticking their forearms and arms and hands between your legs constantly. Yeah. My biggest fear is getting an erection and then having everybody question.
You have to explain why it away.
I'm erect while I'm wrestling.
I just get so into it.
And I would have to explain in all sincerity, my dick doesn't know the difference between a male and a female arm. So give me a little bit of fucking credit.
Then everybody at every school just knows that they just need to jerk you off while they're wrestling and you're done. Easy submission. They're like, just rub Chris's dick. He'll submit instantly. Yeah, that is weird. And you know those guys do that? We've had friends, like, guys that I was friends with were wrestling, and they used to say all the crazy shit that they would either do to other people or other people would do to them. And I was like, sounds pretty gay. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. If that's how you're going to get introduced to other dudes, there's no better way to do it because you're literally grabbing each other aggressively for a period of however long, minutes or however long a match takes. I don't really know.
Or the worst, and I've seen this position before in wrestling too. You somehow
like the 69, your head's in the other dude's crotch.
You somehow managed to get into the 69 position with another dude, and none of you were budging. Both of your heads straight in each other's crotches.
Your head butting the other dude's dick. Yeah. It was fucking weird, dude. Wrestling's weird as shit.
It is.
How is that still a school sport?
I don't know.
Speaking of, so there was a... I won't stay too long on this, but you know, Caitlyn Jenner is running for governor of California because they're like, get Newsom out, which that guy's crazy. But she's running, and she even said that there's no place for transgender women, so previously males, in women's sports, which I adamantly agree with because your physiology, the way you are built, your anatomy would serve as a massive advantage if you are built like a male participating in a woman's sport, wrestling being the one that seems to be most controversial. There was a story, and we may have talked about it on the podcast before, where this transgender woman, girl, teenager, was wrestling high school sports and won 54 matches in a row because she was a dude. She was built, biologically a male and was just dominating the sport. And all these parents are like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So Caitlyn Jenner, as a transgender herself, has stated that there's no place for transgender women who were previously males to participate in female sports because she recognizes it's an unfair advantage. And then part of me is like, I wonder if the transgender community just like completely fucking just said, Caitlyn Jenner's not one of us. We're kicking her out. Biologically, I agree with her. I was like, that's just crazy. Cause at that point, like you could really hurt someone. Like you could really, really hurt someone because the difference is just in biology. And to me, it's frightening. Yeah. It really is. It would be like football. Could you imagine? Like, there's no way. Well, football wouldn't make much sense because that's not traditionally a woman's sport. But pick a woman's sport. Let's say rugby. Let's say you, because women play rugby and guys play rugby. There's both. Let's say you are a biological male playing rugby and you decided that you wanted a transgender, so now you're going to be in female rugby. You would have an advantage of literally killing someone. Like you could kill someone. You could literally kill another person on the field. It's crazy.
I mean, prayers to all of them. My deepest, deepest prayer. I think there is a difference though. Isn't there the difference between biology and truly gender?
Well, identification and biology are not the same thing. They're not mutually inclusive. Yeah. So that's the problem is everybody says, okay, well, if I identify as something, then I am that. And you can always argue that with biology. And I'm not trying to start a fucking war with anybody here. It's just, that's my belief is that like, you can identify however you want. I'm cool with that. I'll respect it. And I will very much like, if that's how you want, that's how I will communicate with you. But I also don't want to like create this other reality that isn't reality that like, okay, well, because I'm a female, I'm a female biologically, I'm created like a female. And it's like, well, you still have that giant Adam's apple. So, and you still have testosterone flowing through your fucking veins. Let's not call it that because it is still different, no matter how you identify. Rant ended. We probably just lost at least 600 followers.
Yeah, I mean,
but also probably not.
But you're speaking your mind, and
I'm speaking my. You know what, Chris? I'm speaking my truth.
And the reality is that, you just have to ask questions and say things that you believe in and deal with the consequences if there are any, but at least you'll learn based on the response of that other person. So how do we learn? By talking.
That's true.
Whether we're right or wrong. So it's like, tell me I'm wrong.
Chris, do you think it would be appropriate at the start of the show where the intro goes in and it both casts your name and what you do, my name, what I do, in a title box, that we include our pronouns in that?
I mean, we can.
Just to be with the times, you know? I feel like it's appropriate. I don't know what you identify as.
Dungeon Master.
I'm pretty basic. I'm him, her.
Yeah. I'm Dungeon Master.
What do they call that? What is the thing where it's like at any given moment I can just be I just identify as a female and then I switch back to a male? What's it called?
Non-binary?
Non-binary. Yeah. I'm him, her. He, she. At any given moment. I'm a chameleon. I'm a gender chameleon.
I think it's fair that a dungeon master is non-binary because at any moment I can be a woman, a man, an orc, a goblin.
Yeah. Hey, how does that work if you are, who's the lady in, what's the lady in X-Men who can morph into anything? Mystique?
Ooh, Mystique, yeah.
What is Mystique?
Gotta be non-binary.
Right? She can be anything.
Whenever.
Literally whenever. Yeah. Oh, man. Write that in the next X-Men movie. All right, let's get on with it, shall we? We've got a review today. We're reviewing a classic. This is a classic cigar. This is, by the way, a brand who has not really released anything new in quite some time. But they are a classic, very popular brand. I would argue probably top five in the country in terms of probably sales, I would assume. Massive name. And what are we reviewing? What am I talking about, Chris? I'm talking about the Ashton VSG. This would be the first Ashton that we've ever reviewed on the podcast or reviewed ever. Out of all the reviews on the site, we've never, ever reviewed an Astrum. We decided to do the VSG this week because we want to pay homage to some of the old school cigars that exist out in the marketplace. So I'm excited about this breakdown just because it's like, hey, we're not like regurgitating some of the same brands that we often, not that we're regurgitating, but often like there's times where there's trends in certain brands that we continue to break down, right? And we've been working hard to kind of get away with that. Obviously, last week was a good representation of that as we broke down the controversial acid Cuba Cuba, which we actually got some pretty good dialogue from people. You know, the comments about the acid Cuba Cuba was like, you know, this isn't my jam now, but this is the cigar I started with. This is where it all began, which I think we articulated really well on the last podcast in terms of like our belief and what it represents in the marketplace. And it looked like a lot of people, they found themselves relating to what we said. So I thought that was pretty cool. But today we're doing the Astrum VSG. We're going old school with this. And before we actually get into the breakdown of the cigar, Chris, how do we break these down?
Sure. Each cigar review is broken down into three main categories: construction, burn, and flavor. We then see if the cigar is worth the price for a possible bonus or deduction on that score. And then finally, we average out our individual reviews, scores, and recommendations, giving you guys kind of how we feel about it. Now, how do you feel about VSG? Like, what does VSG even mean? Have you thought about that yet?
Yes.
Like, what does VSG mean? Like, what's the acronym? What do you think the acronym for VSG is?
I don't know, but anytime I see V, I just think vaginal.
I do too.
Vaginal psoriasis gonorrhea.
Ooh, so some skin, sort of skin, STD.
It's a skin condition. It's a vaginal skin condition.
Yeah.
It's a bacteria thing, from what I've been told.
Maybe vaginal soft goiter. Or,
Vagina's so good.
Oh! I like it.
How about... I don't even know. For whatever reason, vagina squishy golf ball came into my head. I have no idea why.
I like that one.
That doesn't even flow together. It doesn't even make sense. I don't know why I thought of that. I was just like, hurry up, come up with something with G. I don't know beyond that. I'm sure we can come up to acronyms are great because you can just start to think all kinds of stuff. And maybe throughout the episode, we'll think of more and we'll just throw them out there.
That's true. We will, for sure.
This cigar came out in 2009, sober. How many years old is that? 12 years old? This is an older cigar in the marketplace, although it doesn't really feel like 2009 was that long ago. Ecuadorian wrapper, Dominican binder. Oh, sorry. Ecuadorian wrapper, Dominican binder, Dominican filler. We smoked this in a Robusto 5.5x50. Comes in at an $11 price point. I would argue the VSG, in terms of the pricing, is probably more on the lower end in terms of Ashton's, but still $11 for Robusto. So it is... You know, when Chris and I talk about average price points, I would say this one, if you were just to think about the size alone, would be at the upper end of that. It would be on the other end of the spectrum in terms of price instead of the lower end of the spectrum. So yeah. it I would say pretty close to like, hey, $11 for Robusto, that's expensive. So, but it is the Ashton brand name, and let's see how this one performs. Chris, what did you think about the construction of this cigar?
Construction's great, honestly. Dark brown wrapper, had some like interesting black speckling to it, real thick veins, a mildly gritty, you know. It's a good looking cigar. It's got that old school brand vibe too, with those Ashton florally type of antiquity style labels.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty firm cigar. I thought the cap structure was pretty on point. Overall, just a good construction. I didn't notice any glaring things or issues with it.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing in appearance. Very dark and oily. Very oily, very rigid. I agree. Has some of those thick dong veiners running through it. I mean, it was solid. Built like a shit brick house or brick shit house. I'm not really sure how that saying goes. But I would say, like, when you think about what you pay for a cigar, there is a quality perspective that comes into play, right? You always think about the flavors, what does it impart? But you also want to make sure the quality of the material and the production overall also match that price point. And I would say, in this case, off to a really good start. What did you think about the burn?
I thought the burn, honestly, was equally about as good as the construction. It kind of produced some flaky ash. It was a 2-3 puffer with a decent amount of resistance on the draw. I had zero outages, zero. I thought the burn was moderately even. A couple touch-ups here and there. But, you know, with the ring gauge being 50, right?
Yep.
What's the ring gauge, 50?
5.5 by 50.
You know,
yep.
Yeah, you really don't get too many issues with this. So I thought the burn was pretty solid. Nothing to know outside of that. It was good. It was good, bro. It was good.
Yeah, mine had a tight draw, which was exceptionally annoying in this cigar because it was one that never really loosened up. But despite that, good smoke production. So that's always a nice balance to when you have a tight draw. It's one thing to kind of suck in on a fucking draw and have your lungs almost explode and get nothing out of it. But at least in this instance, I think the burn was good enough to where it was still releasing a lot of smoke, which made it kind of nice, even though it was kind of like,
yeah,
you know, and you know me being an asthmatic and these weak lungs, I don't do well with tight draws. But yeah, decent smoke production overall, nice even burn, which I liked, but I did have an outage just a little more than halfway through, which is of course annoying on $11 cigar. So not the perfect burn, but I like the consistency on the burn line. You know, I guess that's a positive I can talk about this cigar.
Yeah, I think probably in your regard, the vaginal soft goiter was really restricting airflow, passing through the vaginal wall, preventing you from getting a good suck.
Yeah, let's go with that. I literally just blew bourbon in my glass and it just splashed up in my face. So my eyes are burning a little bit. Yeah. So what did you think about the flavors overall? How was the vaginal squishy goiter? What did you?
Pretty much.
Did it taste good?
So right off the bat, you're kind of hit with some spice. You kind of get a bitter woodiness. It's got a lot of earthy tones to it. But occasionally you'll get these hits of like sweetness too, especially if you're taking a real soft draw on it. I noticed the creaminess coming out a little bit more. Overall, like once you get past the first 10% of it, it stays about the same. I don't really know any huge change-ups in the flavor. It seemed to be very consistent with the flavor. But I found myself being overwhelmed at points with the bitter and spiciness, and I was kind of looking for a little bit more. But overall, I thought the blend was okay.
Yeah.
But it was very consistent. So I don't know if you like bitter, strong bitters and that consistent medium spice, it'd probably be your jam. But I was looking for a little bit more out of it. Like just even subtle change ups in flavors, but it was very consistent, flavor. But I don't know. It was decent. I'll say it was decent in flavor.
Yeah, I think that bitter component is almost like that sharp cocoa. Like that's what I get. Like when I taste bitter, especially in this cigar, that's what I get. It's like if you ever like cocoa's great, right? Cocoa powder's great when you mix sugar with it because then it gives you that nice chocolate component. But cocoa on itself is very bitter. And I think that's a lot what I had in that. But it is very much heavy in the pepper rush. It does provides a little bit of creaminess, very earthy, very woody. All those combinations of flavor. I agree with you. It's fairly static all the way through. And those flavors seem to be working independent of one another and doesn't really offer to me too much complexity. So I was a little challenged by the flavors overall because I liked portions of them and I liked some of the independence that they bring in terms of like, I could really taste that cocoa. I could really taste the wood. I could really taste the earth, but they didn't mesh well together. It was just like, they were all working independently of one another, which is something that I don't like in any cigar in particular. I like to see the combinations of those flavors really bring something from a component perspective a little bit different. So I was challenged by that a little bit. Chris, what did you think about the price point overall? $11 cigar for a 5.5 by 50 in this Ashton BSG.
It's a little steep, man. It's a little steep. I feel like it's a $9 cigar. I know it's Ashton. I know it's been around a while. I get it. It's a vaginal softy goiter that you're getting, but It's just a little bit too high. Mm. It's just a little bit too high.
Okay. She's so high.
There's so many cigars at that price point that even at a Robusto, you can get some serious bangers, man. You can get some serious good stuff for $11 even at that.
Oh my god.
At that size.
Oh gosh. Oh,
and
yeah,
I don't think it quite competes with other cigars at that price and that size.
Interesting.
And so I feel like I think it's a little bit high. So I gave it a minus.
I think it's appropriate, but barely. And when I say barely, I mean barely. I mean barely appropriate. Because, again, I think it lacks complexity, but I do like the independent flavors. There was a certain thing that I got, I really enjoyed it. And also, I can't get over just how well the cigar was made overall. Now, this is why I really say barely, is that two substantial burn issues, right? One on the draw, and then, of course, one outage that causes a relight, which is less severe than what I would consider, because then you think about like a tight draw, that's a production issue, right? That's a quality control issue. That puts me really at that barely, but I still said it was worth the price. So, very generous
today.
Yeah. That being said, let's break down the scores of each category. Chris, what'd you give it on construction?
10 out of 10 on construction. It's a beautifully made cigar visually, and it looks great. Don't really care for wrapper, but that's old school Ashton. Just take it as it is. 20 out of 20 on burn. I thought my burn was really great. There was nothing really of issue outside of some small touch-ups, which I rarely will give negatives for it, because sometimes cigars just need a little bit of love, just a little bit, around the rim, a little bit of the rim. But if I got to touch up like 3/4 of it, that's when you get negative points. But I didn't have that. 20 out of 20 on burn. 24.5 out of 30 on flavors. I wanted to give it a 25, but I found myself just going, nope, I'm going to take a half a point away from you. It's got some interesting flavors, but it doesn't change up a whole lot in the 5 inches you get.
Right.
And if it's not quite your exact profile you're going for, you're going to find yourself being a little bit bored towards the latter part of the cigar, looking for some little bit changes, which you don't really get, I don't think.
Yeah.
And negative on the price, negative 1%. I'm sorry. It's just a little bit too pricey for what it is. Sorry, Ashton.
Yeah. Sorry, and Ashton.
So mine comes out at an 89.8%, which is a decent smoke to try.
Damn. Well, we round that up to a 90, actually. So we'd put yours at a highly recommended. We got to do that roundup. We can't just have all these fucking half decimals and half fractions. What's a half fraction? I don't even know if that's a thing. Half of a fraction?
So half of a fraction is 1/4.
So if it's a half, it would be a fourth. And if it's half of a fourth, it'd be an eighth. Half of an eighth, it would be a 16th.
Yep.
Half of a 16th would be a 32nd. Half of a 32nd would be a 64th. I could go on forever.
Yeah.
So around yours up to a 90, not a bad score given what you said about the flavors. I am interested in where mine's going to land in comparison to yours. Construction, 10 out of 10, damn near flawless. Ooh, little bit of challenges with the burn and the draw. I give it an 18.5 out of a 20. I liked the flavors, but I didn't like how they didn't mesh well together. It didn't offer up that complexity that I was looking for, especially an $11 cigar. It's weird because you get that huge pepper rush up front, like it hits you in the face, but it kind of sets the tone, I think, for what I was hoping would be really good, like bold, rich flavors afterward. I really like the cocoa bitterness. That's one that I actually truly enjoy, but I thought it was fairly unbalanced overall. But pretty good cigar, all things considered. Again, my gripe being mostly in the burn. I kind of give it some kudos for being the most affordable Ashton in the lineup, because I imagine like you're spending $20 for an Ashton, I'd be like, oh, could you imagine paying that for this VSG and then having this review? I'd be like, fuck. You know, definitely not worth it. But I did think it was appropriately, but again, barely. I gave it a total score of an 89.2, which will round down to an 89. That will give us an average score of an 89.5, which would be a decent smoke to try. And there you have it.
Decent smoke. You know, Ashton's, you know, like that football player that's a little past his prime, that he's still a pro, but he's usually on the bench. You know, he doesn't really get a whole lot of play time.
Right.
Unless the team's way up on points. You know, that just that whole right. underdog card story.
Does but, this make you, like, doing this review and smoking this Ashton, does it make you want to smoke more Ashtons? Or is it going to be kind of like, hey, this has been 10 years since I've smoked one, and that's the interval I'm just going to continue with?
I want to pick... It does interest me. I want to smoke an Ashton that that is like the creme de la creme. Who's the MVP? If you're Ashton and you've got a lineup, who's your MVP on the team?
That's I always like the Ashton Symmetry. I thought was really good. That was the first
Symmetry
Ashton.
We smoked a shit ton of.
That was a while ago, and I loved that Symmetry. Oof, what a good cigar!
But it does pique my curiosity to say
me too, hey. Kind of honestly, it's kind of like, hey, let's give Ashton some give him more chances, even though they never come out with anything fucking new.
Being
let's give him a
topical
chance.
He's like that old boxer that was past his prime. He works at a fucking boat dock or on some fishing ship.
Yeah,
and like
for sure
he practices boxing in his free time, but it's difficult with a wife and family he's got to provide for, and you know they don't got a whole lot of money, but you know, that old coach still sees a little love and passion and fire in his spirit and his eyes and goes, hey, have you ever thought about getting back into boxing? And Ashton goes, I don't know, man. It's been a long time since I've done that. He's like, well, I think it could be a real contender, Ashton. I don't know, man. I got a family to provide for. It's just like bills are tight. Well, what if I told you the first fight you'll make $500? And Ashton goes, well, that's more than I'm making and an entire weekend on the boats, and you know I'm up 24/7 catching krill and all sorts of shit, and like it sucks. It's a smelly, nasty job. He's like, well, $500 your first fight, we'll get you out there, we'll see how you do, and if you love it, you fall in love with it again, maybe we'll be some more fights for you. We're that coach. Do you see the analogy I'm painting? Hot Ticket is that coach trying to inspire Ashton to get back in the game. Get back in the
fight.
I'm
still perplexed in the fact that you said he was fishing for krill. You couldn't pick a better fish? All right. Let's end the review portion of this. Not a bad score for an Ashton. It's been a while since we smoked one. Maybe we'll start interlacing more. I mean, there's only like six to choose from, so we'll probably do one every fucking year at this point.
Yeah, that's
so we don't
true.
So we don't blow all the Ashtons Lord out in one year. All right, let's do a couple Chris questions. We haven't done those in a while. Chris, are you ready for this?
Sure.
What keeps you busy most days?
What keeps me busy most days? Mm. Text messages with fiance.
Oh. Well, that's good to know because you never text me back, you fuck.
I know. It's you.
You're the worst at texting.
None of you get any love except my love. Basically,
family
I don't
first.
Know.
I said this though. To a friend not too long ago. Blood is thicker than cum.
That's true. That's fair.
Well,
maybe not.
I don't
I've
know.
I've choked on cum, but never blood. but honestly, I don't know what keeps me busy in a day. I'm constantly thinking of things I want to do. Like, I'm constantly in this, like, sporadic thought of fun shit I want to do in my life that I never capitalize on, but it's constantly at the forefront of my thinking.
Like hockey? Sorry, I know that's
like,
elementary. I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's just like I'm constantly thinking of ideas. So I'm constantly thinking of cool shit to do with my life.
Right. Hey, you know what someone said? Actually, a lot of people said this, but I listened to a podcast with a guy who started... what is it called? Not Uber Eats, not Grubhub. What's the other one?
DoorDash?
DoorDash. The guy who, the CEO of DoorDash, is dream big, start small. I love that saying. That's great. Keeps you grounded, but it still keeps you motivated and moving towards what you want to move towards.
See, I think I have this issue. And I think
you dream
really,
big, start big?
Yeah, like I go.
I know you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to rein yourself in.
Yeah.
But you're a creative type, so you have to have balance. You have to have someone who is more data and analytical and organized to help keep you straight. You need that partner in crime. What celebrity's crib would you like to tour the most?
Celebrity's crib I'd like to tour the most. Brushy One String.
So a shed? One so room, a 25 foot square foot shed with like two chickens in it?
Who else? Brushy One String. I'm very curious about how he lives and where
he
lives.
I don't think he lives anywhere.
Probably not.
He's a Jamaican squatter, I guarantee it. He just fucking sat in the middle of a cornfield and was like, this is mine.
That's true.
Which, by the way, that's a rule in Jamaica. There's a squatter's rule that if you occupy land for a certain period of time, you earn it. Yeah, it's yours.
That's yours.
Which, no one's going to let anyone do that.
Throw out some celebrity names to inspire me.
Celebrities that you would identify with or just celebrities in general?
Celebrities in general.
I think about like the weirdest ones. Like I would love to see like Mickey Rourke. Like what does his fucking place look like?
Yeah.
Because that guy is kind of crazy. I bet there's a lot of those like crazy Renaissance Festival axes hanging up everywhere.
Yeah.
You know Mickey Rourke's got some of that shit hanging out for sure.
Yeah.
And then I think about just like sensible places like who's like a really down-to-earth celebrity? I don't know if that exists.
Does that exist?
I don't think that exists. I don't think it exists. I was trying to think of someone like Tim Allen. I would love to see where Tim Allen lives because Tim Allen likes cool things, has a fucking crazy awesome car collection, but probably has like a fairly, I'm sure he lives in an expensive place. The guy snorted most of his earnings during fucking Home Improvement, but still, I bet he has, I don't want to say a humble looking place, but probably very sensible. It's probably like not too overboard because he's very like, do you ever watch, what's that show? Last Man Standing. It's actually a really good show.
Yeah.
People are going to hate me for that because the progressives don't like those kinds of shows. It's a really funny show. I don't care, love it or hate it. I think it's great. That show's really good. And it just, I think it highlights Tim Allen's personality overall. So did Home Improvement. Like this is the kind of guy who he really is. It's more of like how Tim Allen is in life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he'd be a cool, like that would be a cool place to tour because it'd be dope fucking old school cars and shit. Same with like Jay Leno. I think that'd be
sweet. I like those. Those inspired me, Corey. I've got two of them that popped to mind.
Yeah.
I want to see Elton John's castle. And I also want to check out... Well, he has a really big estate in England.
You're going to touch your butt.
Yeah, I know. And then I thought about Bjork immediately right after.
Why? Like,
The planet in world is all love. All things. I am things.
Ugh. It's making like, me sick to my stomach.
Could you imagine sitting down on a couch with Bjork in her house and like talking about random shit? Because it'd be so incoherent.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. I don't like people like that. I can't tolerate people like that. I just cannot. I cannot tolerate people like that. You don't have to think too far beyond this.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some really interesting people throughout the world that I'd be like, yeah.
Brushy is a good answer.
Yeah.
Last one. What's your favorite dessert?
Favorite dessert. Oof. I love a really good cheesecake.
Yeah, you're weird. You weirdly are a sucker for cheesecake. It's so strange. Dude, you haven't had the best cheesecake. Not that this is the best cheesecake. I'm sure there's better cheesecake. But there's this place that we go to in Columbus, which I'm sure we will go to tomorrow because Lauren will make me. It's it's this place. There's like this half indoor, half outdoor marketplace in Hilliard.
Yeah.
And there's a brewery there called Crooked Can. It's really good. But there's like this cheesecake, like this business that's in there. It's weird. It's hard to explain like the area. But dude, their cheesecakes are amazing. Lauren brought back two, when was it? Last weekend. And one was like a funfetti one, and I forget what the other one is. Dude, their cheesecakes are amazing. I never eat them, though. Like, I have, like, half a bite, and that's it. Lauren will just smash both of them. I'm really trying to be conscious of my diet, and cheesecake goes against all that. But their cheesecakes are really good. They're fucking awesome. Which, by the way, I have to say this real quick. The reason Lauren was up there is because I'm now uncle for the third time, which is pretty dope. Yep. Little baby's name is Andrew. He's got chubby cute cheeks. We're gonna go see him tomorrow. I'm very excited about it. Obviously this is on my wife's side, so my brother-in-law had their kid, and he's adorable, and I want to squish his cheeks because they're so puffy and cute.
Dude,
they're literally like, they're just like this.
That's cute.
Yeah, adorable. So congratulations to them. I can't wait to go see that baby. I'm super stoked about it. Yeah, anywho, cheesecake's your answer. I like it. Fruit or like one that's like deliciously sweet, like something that has like a caramel drizzle. You like the best one?
The best one that I've ever had.
Strawberry, I'm sure.
Strawberry shortcake cheesecake.
From
strawberry
cheesecake factory.
And it's from a place called Junior's, and it's in Times Square.
Oh, that's right. You told me about that. Now that's probably a really good cheesecake. Like I tout amazing. This place that I go to in Columbus, but I'm sure the place that you go to in New York is arguably better. So that's awesome. Well, cool.
Yeah.
I dig it. Good answer. I think cheesecake's a good answer. I'm glad you didn't say man icing or something like that.
Yes. Play on words.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap this up, shall we?
Or a man sour cream if he's not had enough sweets and had maybe too many veggies and meat.
Man ranch dip. Why does it taste like dill? Gross. All right, let's wrap this up. Check out our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack. www.mycigarpack.com. Nephew's running around naked. That's pretty awesome. Do I have to blur something out there?
No.
Is this a dick out?
No. All right,
that's good. You got to be careful of that content.
Yeah.
We are supposed to be a kid-friendly show. So
that's true.
I don't know what he's doing. He's doing yoga back there. Check out our show sponsor, www.mycigarpack.com. I am waiting for the April pack. I have not got it yet. I don't even know if it's shipped yet. Typically, Alex likes to throw in a few goodies for me. So a lot of times he just kind of like hangs tight on them for a little bit. But the May pack is coming. I will let everybody know what comes in that pack when I get a chance to open it up. But nonetheless, if you want to get your hands on it, you can visit them at www.mycigarpack.com. Not sure if our promo code is active yet, but if it is, you can try it. It's Hot 10 at checkout for $10 off your first pack. And don't forget Factory Direct. I think Chris said it best on the last podcast. A lot of these manufacturers are experimenting with different stuff, so they're participating in these kind of factory direct products and really kind of focusing on some, you know, crazy off the wall blends sometimes, things that they just want to kind of experiment and put out there, just kind of wild, crazy stuff. We did that with Donger's Knockout and it was a really huge hit. So check out the Factory Direct program as well. I will say, not better cigars for the money.
Yeah, I agree.
Also check out our website, www.hotticketweekly.com. Did a review this week, posted it today. It is the Blackbird Cigar Co. Finch, and it's going to be, I'm not sure which, it's going to be over here. Last time it was inverted, but you'll see it right there. So you can check that out at www.hotticketweekly.com with all our other reviews, news, and more. And please subscribe on YouTube. We did a giveaway a few weeks ago, the Harriman Solomon packs. We had tons of entries, and part of that was subscribe to YouTube because we really want you guys to enjoy what we put out on the video content stuff, and we got a shit ton of subscribers. We almost doubled, which is fucking wild. So check out all of our content on YouTube as well. We've got all the reviews posted on there for you guys to enjoy, and certainly, you know, leave us some feedback. I'm going to do the whole Logan Paul thing. If you could subscribe, comment, that'd be awesome. Going to do some giveaways. We got 5 PS5s that we're going to be handing out at random.
Hang around for the whole video because somewhere at the end, we're going to tell you guys about how you can win a PS5.
I'm surprised people just, don't they just skip? Don't they just skip to the end?
Probably.
Yeah, it's gimmicky. We're not giving you shit.
Or you like, or the content, you say,
or don't.
Or tricky. Or you go like, make sure to watch the whole video because somewhere in this video we're going to give you our secret code that you need to enter into this giveaway.
Yeah, that's shady as shit. Shady ass motherfuckers. All right, let's conclude this. Chris, this concludes episode 196. We're fastly approaching episode 200, which we have a special guest, actually a special two guests for episode 200 already lined up, coming to you in a month from now. So hang tight for that. But this will conclude episode 196. We'll be back at you next week with episode 197. See everyone. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Let me tell you how you can get a hold of us. You can get a hold of myself at the Hot Ticket Pod on Instagram. You can get a hold of Chris at Hot Ticket Chris on Instagram as well. You can find this podcast. It is available all over the place. You can find it on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. And you can find the podcast available on video
on YouTube. Look up The Hot Ticket Weekly on YouTube, and you can watch all the fun happen before your eyes. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode. And as always, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes if you could. And check out our show sponsor, My Cigar Pack, at www.mycigarpack.com. Again, thanks for listening. We'll be back at you next week.